Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. A freeze warning continues until 9 a.m. today. Bright sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 60. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 33. Daytime highs approaching 64 tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Storms likely Saturday, chance for showers on Sunday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently is 35 degrees.
Kansas Information Network News, I'm Jen Austin. Law enforcement have launched an investigation into an attempted murder in Manhattan. Roxanne Stewart has more.
Riley County police officers responded to the 400 block of Walters Drive late Tuesday night. A 39-year-old man had been stabbed. The victim was hospitalized and was reported to be in stable condition. Officers arrested an as-of-yet unidentified 53-year-old man on attempted murder and aggravated battery charges. He's being held in the Riley County Jail on $250,000 bond. A 41-year-old man and a 26-year-old woman, both from Manhattan, were also arrested in connection to the incident. I'm Roxanne Stewart.
A retired canine with the Wichita Fire Department has passed away. The dog named Sporty was known as City Hall's 11th floor guard dog and served the community from 2010 to 2015. Sporty lived with her handler, retired Fire Marshal Stuart Beavis, and would have been 16 years old in December. Sporty was a master of accelerant detection with the Wichita Fire Department. This is Kansas Information Network News.
Have you lost CanCare? At healthcare.gov, you can find a low-cost, quality health plan.
Do plans cover doctor visits?
What about emergency care?
And prescriptions?
All covered and more. Plus, with the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, I'm Natalie Hadley with your KQNK News, brought to you by Firebolt Ag, LLC, serving all of your chemical and fertilizer needs. Nearly $9 million is headed to projects in the Sunflower State that are meant to soften the impact of a statewide drought. Governor Kelly announced that Kansas is set to receive $9 million from the Federal Inflation Reduction Act, and the funds will go towards two projects meant to mitigate the impact of the state's drought, with Governor Kelly saying decades of over-appropriation and more frequent droughts have now put communities across Kansas in crisis, so these projects will be instrumental in their work to increase Kansas's water quality and quantity. State officials announced that the Kansas Equus Bed Aquifer Recharge Storage and Recovery Project near Wichita is set to receive $7 million, and this is crucial for more than 20% of the municipal, industrial, and irrigation water usage in Kansas. Governor Kelly also announced that the Kansas Voluntary Agreements Program was chosen to receive $2 million for the Kansas Water Transition Assistance Program in either Prairie Dog Creek or Rattlesnake Creek Basin, and this will conserve about 10,000 acre-feet through the rotation of temporary land fallowing or permanent retiring of water rights. Governor Kelly noted that she has advocated for federal water funds to be extended into Kansas to help family farms and ranches, small towns, and wildlife to avoid the impacts of drought. Congresswoman Cherise Davids of Kansas said she's glad to see resources coming home to Kansas as the ongoing effects of drought are a persistent threat across our state. And this investment is a critical step to protect the livelihoods of Kansans, support the work our farmers do to feed the world, and protect the economic security of towns across Kansas. Governor Kelly indicated that the announcement builds on previous investments of nearly $33 million for aging infrastructure, water recycling, and water smart projects in Kansas. 3 people were injured in an accident just before 5 p.m. on Wednesday in Norton County. The Kansas Highway Patrol reported that a 2005 Mercury Montego, driven by 16-year-old Aislinn D. Loffrey of Norton, was eastbound on Woods Drive at Valley Vista in Norton when the car struck a southbound 1990 Chevy 1500 driven by 70-year-old Mary J. Johnston of Norton. After the impact, the pickup came to rest on the southeast curb of the intersection, and the car came to rest next to the pickup on the southeast corner of the street. EMS transported Loughery, Johnston, and a passenger in the car, 15-year-old Piper Benavides of Norton, to the Norton County Hospital. All three were not wearing seatbelts, according to the Kansas Highway Patrol. A 47-year-old Overland Park man was arrested on charges of several alleged property thefts at the Hayes Walmart. Hayes Police Lieutenant Tim Greenwood said police first learned about Quinn Anthony McDonald in July when the Walmart reported a theft. McDonald left the scene but was seen again on October 21st when he allegedly attempted to return a previously stolen item, and when the police arrived, he was then arrested outside of Walmart. Court records revealed that McDonald was reportedly found possessing a JBL speaker, a jump pack, a Hart drill bit, a Hart impact wrench, and a charger and a pen. The alleged thefts are categorized as felonies, and McDonald was booked into the Ellis County Jail on October 21st. Drivers will need to be on high alert tonight for Halloween, as Safe Kids Worldwide has reported that children are more than twice as likely to be hit and killed by a car on Halloween than on any other day of the year. And to add to that, Halloween is consistently one of the top 3 days of the year for pedestrian injuries and fatalities. So it's recommended that drivers eliminate any distractions, focus on the road, and slow down in residential neighborhoods to give themselves extra time to react. Some children may not be paying attention to traffic and can dart across the street, so you should carefully enter and exit driveways and turn your headlights on for more visibility. Parents can help by making their kids' costumes more visible. Put reflective material on the costumes, on the bags, and anywhere you can, because cars can see that much better. Also remember that as trick-or-treaters need to be seen, they also need to be able to see, so leave the porch light on and keep all obstacles out of the way. Parents are also cautioned to check their child's candy before they eat anything to make sure everything is wrapped and throw it out if it isn't. Finally, parents are cautioned not to let trick-or-treaters enter the homes of people to get candy, and parents are encouraged to be outside on the porch or doorsteps with their kids. Some more safety tips include to stick to sidewalks or paths. Don't walk through neighborhood yards, as there may be hazards you can't see. If there are no sidewalks along your street, walk on the road facing traffic as far to the left as possible. Only cross the street at corners and crosswalks, not between parked cars, and make eye contact and wave at drivers before crossing. Watch out for cars that are turning or backing up, and pay attention to your surroundings. Put away phones and other distracting electronics. In Nebraska news, authorities reported that at about 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, deputies in Cass County started chasing a vehicle that was driving in the wrong lane on several roads. However, they lost the car. Then just before 11 a.m., the patrol learned that the driver, 41-year-old Sevilla Cook of Omaha, may have caused a disturbance at a gas station in Waverly, and a trooper spotted the vehicle going west on Highway 6 towards Lincoln. The trooper tried to pull Cook over, but the patrol said she refused to stop. She led the trooper to Lincoln, getting off Highway 6 at North Cottner Boulevard, where the trooper forced her vehicle to come to a stop before the chase reached residential streets. Investigators said they found about 24 pounds of methamphetamine in the car, and Cook was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence of drugs, flight to avoid arrest, possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, driving under suspension, and refusal to submit to a DUI test. She was taken to the Lancaster County Jail. 37-year-old Randy Kermode of York pled no contest Tuesday to misdemeanor flight to avoid arrest and 2 counts of misdemeanor child abuse, and all 3 charges were originally felonies. Kermode also admitted to driving under a suspended license and not having proof of insurance. Court documents show that on June 8th, a sergeant with the York County Sheriff's Office tried to pull over an SUV for traffic violations, but Kermode led the sergeant on a chase across York, crossing the center line and blowing through a stop sign. He came to a stop at an apartment complex where the sergeant drew his gun and arrested him. 2 children were in the back of the seat of the SUV, and authorities said neither were wearing a seatbelt. Kermode is scheduled to be sentenced December 23rd. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Firebolt Ag is a full-service fertilizer and chemical retailer. They customize products for individual farmers' needs, with the primary focus being customer profitability. Let Josh and Jack help you get the most out of your farm ground. They also provide in-house marketing with Ron Wall of Flatwater Solutions. Visit Ron in Phillipsburg or call Josh at 785-854-8484 or Jack at 308-840-2819. Firebolt Ag, your leader in agriculture.
Now we'll hear from Fig Millen and Norton Blue Jay cross country coach George Rossi to update on the team and the state meet on Saturday.
I'm here with head cross country coach George Rossi. Coach, last week you hosted the 3A regionals along with the 2A Prairie Dog Golf Course, but the girls finished first in 3A and the boys finished fourth in their competition. Let's talk about the girls.
I thought the girls ran a fantastic race. You know, it's always kind of nerve-wracking when you have an idea that you should be in the top three, and you have to go out and you have to have a solid day, and our girls did exactly that. You know, we ran some great times. We had three girls get a personal record, and those personal records were by a long ways, like 25, 30 seconds, or in case of Danica, like 2 minutes, but just ran lights out. Emma Collins placed third, and she ran a fantastic race. Kaysen Miller, again, she also ran a very good race. She had a PR, knocked her PR down by almost 30 seconds and ended up being fifth. And Savannah Runback, 12th place. So all three of those girls were medalists. And Cassie McLean was just out of the medals, and she finished in 17th. I think by far and away the race of the day, probably the race of the year, belonged to Danica Frick. Her PR coming in was from Wamego, which is a very hard course, but her PR was 25-something, and we look up, and Lorelei was struggling a little bit. She was getting sick, and Danica did exactly what a great teammate's supposed to do and got ahead, and Danica ran a 23:31, which is a two-minute PR, finished in 42nd, and because she was in 42nd, that sealed the win for us. Just did a fantastic job. Lorelei Granberry was 56th, and Natalie Simmons ran her second best time of her career and finished in 61st. So I'm really proud of the way the girls came out and competed and did a great job. You know, we got to just keep that moving forward into next week.
Also on the boys' side, a fourth place finish, and you know, just one thing I'd like to add there is that there's teams from all over and a lot of unexpected teams, and I think the boys was a very fast race.
Yeah, the boys were very fast. You know, coming in on, if you look at the rankings on mile split, coming into our regional, we were the seventh-ranked team quite a ways back. And, you know, our boys did everything that they could. We talked about, you know, if you ran poorly and you got fourth place, it would be one thing. But we ran lights out. We had five PRs, and the other two were very close to their PRs. And you just can't do any better. We got beat by better teams. But I was so proud of the way the boys came out and competed. Aston Katz was in 11th place, and he's going to state. And I think on the boys' side, by far and away, Tyler Stewart, man, he was 24th-ranked kid coming in, and he knew that he was going to have to PR by over 35 seconds in order to even have a shot. And as the race progressed, he was 28th, and then he was 21st, and then he was 18th, and coming up over the hill, he was giving every ounce of effort he had. And we talked the night before about nobody beats you in the chute. If you have to dive, dive. Tyler dove, and you had some great pictures of that. And he dove and got a 14th spot, and I'm so happy for Tyler to get a individual berth at the state meet. The kid works his tail off, and just he's a senior, and he couldn't be more deserving. Max Carter had a PR, finished in 38th. Jace Bailey had a big PR, finished in 40th. Elvis Green cut his time down by a minute and a half, finished in 44th. Brexton Eisenhagen was right at his PR, finished in 64th. And Michael Urban had a PR and finished in 73rd. So, like I said, you know, it's hard to finish fourth place. Those boys really wanted to go, but there was three quality teams in front of us, and, you know, we were fast, and we were fast for us, and I think it gives those guys a lot of incentive to hopefully get better and get in those top three teams down the road.
Talking about the speed of these races, two records were broken also at this regional.
Yeah, the girl from Smith Center, we we kind of I figured at least she was had a good shot at breaking the course record. She ran a 17:52, which was just insane. And she's a great racer, great runner. She was working very, very hard. You know, it's kind of hard to do that. Sometimes you're 2 minutes ahead of everybody, but she was putting everything she had into it. And then Brody Dennison from Holcomb also had a fantastic race on the boys' side and broke the record. Previous to that was held by our own Zach Boehner. So sorry, Zach, that one got broke. But he Brody ran a fantastic race and finished, I believe, in 16:02, which is an insane time. But, you know, kids are fast this year, boys and girls on every level. Just the PR times are just incredibly fast. You're going to have to run probably in the 16s on the boys' side to get a medal, and you're going to have to run 19s and 20s under 21 probably on the girls' side to get a medal at state.
The state competition at Rimrock in Lawrence, a fun course that you enjoy sending your squad to this coming Saturday. What do you see at the Rimrock meet?
Well, you know, it's obviously you got the best teams in the state. I think on the girls' side, I don't think there's a clear favorite. You got Wichita Trinity again, who has a state champion in Emily Heim, and you have Southeast Saline, which is a very strong team because they run so closely as a pack. They're 1-5 splits about 50 seconds. Heston's got some really good runners. Scott City, us, Hiawatha. There's probably 7 or 8 teams that are really going to battle it out. You know, not necessarily for first and second always, but that third place trophy is going to be a huge battle. And you know, it's weather's going to suit us again. We ran in the rain last year. It's supposed to rain, and I think our girls have it in them. If they, you know, you're going to have to put together another race like we had at our meet on Saturday. And if you do, I think you got a little bit of a shot to maybe get something.
Of course, then you send in the two qualifiers in the boys division.
Yeah, on the boys, you know, it's going to be tough. Like I just said, you're probably going to have to run in the 16s to get a medal, but. You know, anything can happen at state. Rimrock sometimes at state, it's a very fast meet. And, you know, I think I hadn't mentioned this yet, but I think our crowd, we had such a huge crowd at our regional. I think it really gave our kids a lot of help and a lot of spirit and just made them run fast. And, you know, I know we won't have that crowd at Rimrock. It's so far away, but I want to thank everybody from Norton for coming out and giving us such great support at regionals. It was a very fun day, and you know, hopefully we'll get regionals again soon.
Why don't you give us the time and the format for the state competition?
The boys will run at 10:35, and the girls will run at 12:20, and then the awards will follow that. It's the 5A, 6A, and 3A races at Rimrock, so those are the times, and they stick to them pretty good. So hopefully some people can come out and give us some support and cheer us on, and then hopefully we'll you know, have another great day like we did at regionals and hopefully bring something home.
Coach, we're going to wish you best luck on Saturday when you travel to Lawrence and participate in the 3A state championship. Reporting from KQ&K, I'm Fig Millen.
Thank you, Fig, and Coach Rossi, and good luck to the Blue Jay cross-country team in the state meet on Saturday. Your menu today for Eisenhower Elementary School. For lunch, you'll be having beef burrito, mixed vegetables, rosy applesauce, baby carrots, and milk. For Norton Community High School and Junior High, your lunch today will be breaded beef patty or chef salad with whipped potatoes, fruit, and milk. And for Norton Northern Valley Schools, your lunch today will be enchiladas, salad, chips, vegetable, and fruit. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by Firebolt Ag, LLC, farmers helping farmers to succeed. You can contact Firebolt Ag today to get the most out of your farmland. Your KQNK weather forecast is being brought to you by Hinkle Termite and Pest Control, your Norton experts for all of your pest control needs. Your forecast for today, it should be sunny with a high near 60 with a west wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour becoming southwest in the afternoon. For tonight, it should be mostly clear with a low around 33 and a south wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour. On Friday, it should be sunny with a high near 64 and a south wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour. And on Friday night, there's a 20% chance of showers after 1 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 36. I'll be back with the rest of your forecast in just a moment.
When you've got bugs, we know what a nuisance that can be.
Lock them out. From Hinkle Termite and Pest Control, Lock 'em Out is our very effective residential insect prevention program. We'll come to your place and treat your foundation plus all insect entryways. And while we're there, receive a free termite inspection. Call Mr. Rich Wenzel, our certified technician in Norton, at 785-202-0167. That's 202-0167.
Continuing with your weather forecast, on Saturday, there's a chance of showers. Then showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 1 p.m. Otherwise, it should be mostly cloudy with the high near 62. On Sunday, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 1 p.m. Should be mostly cloudy with the high near 70. On Monday, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms. And then showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 1 p.m. Should be mostly cloudy with the high near 60. On Tuesday, there's a 30% chance of showers, otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 53. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 54. Currently, with fair skies, it is 34 degrees. The humidity is 93%. The wind speed is northwest at 10 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is 30.11. The dew point is 32 degrees. And the current wind chill is 26 degrees. Your weather was brought to you by Hinkle Termite and Pest Control right here in Norton. You can call Hinkle Termite and Pest Control at 785-202-0167 for all of your pest control needs. It is 825. It's time for Kansas Sports, brought to you by United Northwest Federal Credit Union, where everything they do for you.
Save more, earn more with the Easy Saver account at the United Northwest Federal Credit Union. Enrollment in this program automatically rounds up the amount of all debit card and share draft purchases made from your checking account to the next whole dollar and deposits into the Easy Saver savings account. Not only will this account help you save, but it also earns 2.01% APY monthly. Special terms and conditions apply. Come in today and open your Easy Saver account at the United Northwest Federal Credit Union, where everything we do for you. NCUA insured.
KIN Sports, I'm Spencer Dupuy. Kansas men's basketball beat Division II Washburn 84-53 in an exhibition matchup Tuesday night at Allen Fieldhouse. Zeke Mayo had 16 points, going 4-for-6 from beyond the arc. Rylan Griffin had 14 points, hitting 4 threes as well. And David Coit led the way with 19 points as he got the start after the game. He talked about if there was a difference in starting or coming off the bench for him.
Nothing. I think the only difference is like, I think you have an advantage coming off the bench just because you get to see the flow of the game. You kind of get to see different things, so I think either or, but I think our roles, and we have such a great team that it really doesn't matter who's going to start, who's going to play, or who's going to come off the bench. Like, Zeke didn't start tonight, he had 16 points. Like, it doesn't matter. One game he's going to start, they might have a bigger guard, or somebody that they want Zeke to match up with, he's going to start. I got to come off and provide the same thing he did. So it really doesn't matter for us.
Number one KU opens the regular season Monday night at home against Howard at 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus. Kansas Information Network Sports, I'm Spencer Dupuy.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
It's true, many of us spend more time thinking about what's for dinner than preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs deserve more attention, I agree, and I'd like to help. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Philip Eisenhagen. Together we can give your long-term retirement strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by our office at 418 East Holm here in Norton, or call 877-3373. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.